With it being student lunch today, we will look this morning at the message of the gospel, and then tonight we will return to the Sermon on the Mount. And I'd like us to consider the account that was read earlier on of Bartimaeus. I hope I'm pronouncing him right. My first language is Welsh, although Welsh is supposed to be closer to the original languages of the scripture. So Bartimaeus is what we're going to stay with. And he's found in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the last paragraph from verse 35 to the end. You'll also find him in Mark and Matthew. So what happens here is most important because it's given to us three times in the New Testament. And I feel very sorry for this man because he was blind. He was probably blind from birth. So he never knew the beauty of the world round about. You could never say to him, you remember what the River Jordan would have looked like? He wouldn't have seen it. He would never have seen the different colours in life. And so it was no use for you to try and describe things in terms of how beautiful they are. A blind man always and seems like it will continue like that for the remainder of his life. But not only blind, but poor. We meet him begging. He had nothing. He had an item of clothing because we're told that when he went to the Lord Jesus, he put that aside. Maybe that was his prized possession, an expensive cloak that somebody had given to him. We don't know. But apart from that, he had nothing. There was no social security in the days of the New Testament, so he was completely dependent on the charity of others. There would have been no family help, no resources within. He was poor, wretched, blind. And we're looking at him because he's a perfect description of us this morning, as we are spiritually. We may have perfect vision. I wish I had. But spiritually, we don't see. You're convinced that these four walls are real. I'm sure you're convinced that the pew you're sitting on is real. But is God real to you? And what about the soul, this spirit part of it? Is that more real than the body to you? And as we immerse ourselves in the things of time, is what comes after death, eternity, more real to you? You see, we're all by nature blind to these far more important things than what belong to the physical world of time. And no one is blinder than he who will not see. And we kind of kid ourselves that we are the people and that no generation has ever had it as right as we have. Oh, I feel sorry for you if that's your condition. But not only are we spiritually blind, we have nothing. We are naked in terms of our standing before God. We don't have any strength spiritually. That's why I was using that illustration for the children of the glove. That's us. Before God does something in us, we are lifeless. I'm not telling you this morning to start behaving like a Christian. You can't do that. You've got to be born again first. There has to be life there. And it's worse than that. We don't have anything to offer God. You know, when we'll have to stand before him at the last day, for man is appointed once to die, and after that the judgment, we're not going to have anything to point to. Some people think that they will be able to refer to all the good that they have done, and they hope that that will outweigh the bad. But it doesn't work like that, because we're tainted by this oil slick of sin. Just like what's happening in the Mexican Gulf. Every part of our being is polluted. It may not be 100% polluted, but it's still poison. Imagine if I put a drop of cyanide in this glass. It wouldn't be 100% cyanide, would it? But it would kill me. Well, that's encouraging, you say. I've come here this morning, not just to have student lunch, but to hear about Christianity, and the first thing you've said is that I am like this man Bartimaeus, spiritually speaking, that I'm blind and I'm poor, and because of that, I'm wretched. Is that what you're saying? Yes. Now, doesn't that encourage you in one sense? Because I'm not trying to hide anything from you. There's no sleight of hand here. Like a magician pulling a rabbit out of a hat. You can't see the rabbit before. And then, by a clever use of his hand, he produces the rabbit, and you feel as if you've been got at somehow. What's the trick in it? I'm not using the word of God in that way. I'm just giving it to you, plain and simple. And if you don't like it, all right. But at least I've been faithful to the truth. But actually, I'm not going to stop there. I don't want to leave you in a depressed state. And it's not just you that I'm addressing, it's myself. I'm like Bartimaeus. Just because I'm standing in a pulpit doesn't mean that I'm a cut above the rest. I'm poor and blind and wretched spiritually. But I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. And that's what changes the whole picture here. At first, it looks so bleak and hopeless. And then we have these words, Jesus passes by. Now, all I want to do this morning is look at this encounter with the Lord Jesus. That's what every one of us needs. We need a spiritual meeting with this Jesus of Nazareth. That's what becoming a Christian is. You don't decide to become a Christian as you decide to change from Tesco's to Sainsbury's. It's an encounter with the spiritual world. It's a meeting with God. I heard of a person the other day telling me of his wife being converted. And the way she put it to him was like this. She didn't say, I have become a Christian. You see, many people take up Christianity as they take up any other religions. Well, that's not what Christianity is. All she said to him was that, I have come to know God. He's real to me now. He wasn't before. I was blind. But now, in Jesus Christ, something has happened. Now, that's what we need to look at. How did it happen to Bartimaeus? I know he was physically healed, but a healing took place here which was far more important. And that's what I want us to consider. Now, what did he do? Well, a few things. If you've got a Bible, look at verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh, that's Jesus, unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside, begging. Now, I want you to use your imagination here. Bartimaeus was sitting at the spot where Jesus was going to pass by. I remember a few years ago, when I was in North Wales, hearing from the news that the Queen was going to visit the area of North East Wales where I lived, and that she was going to travel from one place to another, and that meant going through Caergwrle. Fancy that. The Queen going through Caergwrle, of all places. Now, if I would have wanted to see the Queen, it would have been no use for me to have stayed in the house. She wasn't going to pass by my house. I would have had to have gone onto the main road in Caergwrle and put myself in a prominent position, and then I would have seen her. And that's what Bartimaeus did. I'm not sure if he knew that the Lord Jesus was going to pass by. He thought that this was going to be just like any other day. He often sat at that spot begging. But you, my friend, know a bit more than Bartimaeus did. And the best place to meet the Lord Jesus is here. This is his house. And this is one of those places where he passes through. Now, if you think I'm using my imagination here, let me give you a verse. The Lord Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name." Now, there are more than two or three here this morning. And I know I'm gathered in his name, and probably a few of you are gathered here in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, he's promised that where two or three are gathered in his name, it doesn't matter what the others may think, there am I in the midst. So whether you like it or not, whether you feel it or not, the Lord Jesus is here this morning in the Word, and he's promised to pass by. Now, the problem is we're not aware of that, but that doesn't mean to say that he isn't here. So you're in the right place to meet the Lord Jesus. If you really want to be saved, then it's no use staying at home. I used to think that going up a mountain would help me to find the Lord Jesus. That didn't help. The fact that a mountain is closer to heaven didn't make the slightest bit of difference. If you want to find him, you come to the church. You also look at the Bible. That's another place where he has promised to reveal himself. So does that change your view of this meeting? That this isn't just a social occasion. This isn't even a religious gathering where we're singing hymns, praying, and listening to a sermon. It's an occasion. You've been invited to meet with none other than the King of Kings. And all I am, I'm a little signpost trying to point you to him. We've lost our sense of occasion, have we not? Everything is so instant these days. There's 24-hour news. And even when there is a breaking story, I don't know, it doesn't hit you as much as it would before. So that's the first thing. I know it sounds rather simple, but it's important. If you really want to know God in Christ, then you don't stay where you are. You go to those places where he is to be found. But he didn't just place himself in a certain position. What did he do? When he heard that Jesus was passing by, he didn't remain quiet. Verse 38, he cried. Now, I like that. What did he do? He prayed. Now, I remember somebody asking me once, they were seeking the Lord, and they wanted me to write out a prayer for them. And maybe you're thinking along those lines, that if I am to become a Christian, then I need to say a certain prayer. I only want you to say one prayer. The prayer that rises from the heart, born of need. Some of the most moving prayers in the scripture are two words. Help, Lord. You can even pray with one letter. Oh. You don't even have to say anything out loud. It can be a groaning that isn't uttered. But what it is an SOS sent to heaven. Here am I, like Bartimaeus, beginning to realize that I'm blind, that I'm powerless, that I'm in need of cleansing and of forgiveness, and I can't do it. Church can't do it. The minister can't do it. It's Christ alone, and I'm beginning to look to him. That's prayer. And look at the words that he used. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, this gives me hope. You see, Bartimaeus realized that this wasn't just a man that was passing by. It was the Son of David. He was a Jew, so he knew his Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, there were prophecies written centuries before this time about God sending a Messiah and about this person dealing with our problem of sin. And Bartimaeus recognized that this man, Jesus, was that Messiah. And that's what gives us hope here this morning. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm simply placarding him before you. Jesus, Son of Man, Son of God. And where you direct your prayers is to him in heaven. He has accomplished what you cannot do. He has lived the perfect life for you. He has taken the curse of the broken law upon himself. He's cancelled the debts. And what you do is say, Lord, I realize that I'm poor and needy and have no earthly store, but you have done everything, and I'm praying to you for mercy to come on me. You put it like this to him, if you want words, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, that's me. That will always be me. But then you look to Christ and you say, sight, riches, healing of the mind, and all that I expect in thee to find. O Lamb of God, I come. It's simple, isn't it? Why do we complicate matters? So pray. Put yourself in the way, but don't be quiet. Pray. Cry. And then he persevered. Look at what happens. You would have expected those roundabouts, including the disciples, to have encouraged him. But instead of doing that, they rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Oh, idea. Have you ever had that happening to you? Maybe you've wanted to know the forgiveness of God in Christ. You know that you are wretched, but that Christ has everything. And you start to seek him. And you begin talking to people who say they're Christians about this, and they look at you as if you're a strange person. You don't want to talk like that, they'll say to you. That sounds a bit extreme. Why don't you have just a respectable Christianity? I can imagine some of these people that were put off by the crying of Bartimaeus. They didn't want any shouting. It wasn't the done thing. They just wanted a nice, quiet, respectable saying a prayer with maybe that voice that you hear sometimes in bishops and archbishops. You know what I mean, that pious kind of voice being put on. That's the kind of Christianity they want. And here's Bartimaeus, not even using a prayer book, and he's just crying out. He's getting excited about it. That's not what we want. I'm sure there were people there who were putting him off because they were just respectable. And here was a man feeling his need and crying for help. Now imagine a different illustration. A man, maybe for the sake of argument, stuck on a cliff. He's fallen down and he's landed on a ledge and he's trapped, he's injured, and he needs to be rescued. And he can see people far down who can maybe alert the rescue people. And what does he do? He just remains calm and he just says in a very respectable way, could you please come and help me, etc., etc.? That would be ridiculous. He would cry for help. He wouldn't care about the order of the words. He wouldn't care if it was grammatically incorrect. All he wants is for somebody to hear him and for those people to alert the rescuers and for them to come. That's exactly the same in the spiritual realm. My friend, you don't have to worry about the form of words you use to address the Lord Jesus Christ. If you see your need of him, if you realize that he, the Son of Man, the Son of God, can save you, then you cry to him. I'm sure some of the people would have spotted Bartimaeus and seen him as a beggar, and that would have put them off. He's not the sort of person to be interested in Christianity. He's not dressed properly. I've heard people say to me, I cannot come to you at church. I don't own a suit. You don't need a suit to come to church. All you need are garments of humility, feeling your need, and in a sense of desperation, crying to him. That's the dress that pleases God. And the great thing about Bartimaeus, you see, he didn't stop praying. The rebukes of these people urged him to pray the louder. That's good, isn't it? Oh, don't be put off by others. Make that an extra reason for you to call even more on God. There are some lovely promises, you know, in the Bible that help you to persevere in prayer. Listen to this. They're in the Old and the New Testament. This is one of my favorites. It is good for a man to quietly wait for the salvation of God. There's something very lovely about that. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's what I'm doing, my friends. I know Christ has done everything that's necessary to save a wretch like me. I know that all I'm depending on is his perfect life and his sacrificial death. I don't want to add anything to what God has done through Christ. But, oh, I'm continuing to cry to him, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me and make me know and feel that forgiveness of sins that is with thee. And it is good to quietly, not in a respectable way, but in a non-panicky way, just rest in him. He's promised. He's the God who cannot lie. And I can trust him. So, what do? You put yourself in the way. You're here this morning. You're in the best place. You don't do nothing. Church is no spectator sports. You cry. You pray. Even now you can do it. You don't have to come and see me afterwards. You can do it in the quietness of your heart. And you're not put off by the religious folk. You persevere in prayer. And then, and this is where we're coming to, something happens. That's always the case. It doesn't matter whether it's days, weeks, months, even years. Eventually, the Lord intervenes. Now, look at what happens here, and then we'll be finished. Verse 40. Jesus stood. Here he is, passing through. There's a throng around him. They're all very noisy. And he can hear this one person crying. He stops. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. That he should be interested in me. That he's not hobnobbing with the great and the good in Jericho. But he takes notes of a poor beggar. You know, you need to know a bit about your New Testament to see the significance of this. The grandeur of the scene. If you imagine, I don't know, the Oval Office in the White House, that's a grand setting. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, prophesied for centuries in terms of coming into this world. He's become a man. He's come in order to complete his mission. And he's actually going through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. He's going to that cross where he's going to take the wrath of God upon himself and procure our salvation, the grandeur of the scene. He's actually in the middle of his mission. His eyes are set as a flint to go to that cross. And he stops because of a little beggar crying for help. And he deals with him. The Oval Office, a grand scene, and the daughters of the president playing. That's what comes to mind here. You know, you may think that you are a nobody in this church. This is a large congregation. And can this Lord Jesus that you are talking about be interested in me? Yes, he can. Indeed, if you think you are a somebody, you are a nobody. And he's not interested in you. But if you feel you are need, and if you're crying to him, he's going to stop. I can never forget going to a minister's conference. I'd not been a minister for long. And before I was a minister, I used to read a lot of Christian books. And there was one particular author, an excellent church historian. And I used to read all his books, and I admired him. And then I went to this minister's conference. Now I was a minister, you see. And I felt quite overwhelmed with all these other experienced ministers in their suits. And there was I, a new minister. And I heard a message from one of the other ministers that this author was looking for you, for me. I was quite overwhelmed. Now, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for you. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love, tender and true, streaming from the heart of the Savior above, streaming to me and to you. Jesus has come, the wanderers to seek. That's him. He isn't interested in the big wigs. Came with the helpless and hopeless to dwell, sharing their sorrow and shame. Jesus is seeking the wanderers yet. That's his interest in you. Now then, what does he do? He stops, and then he commands Bartimaeus to come to him. And he's doing the same with us this morning. Is he really, you're asking me? I thought that Christianity was a request for me to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't find any requests in the Bible. I find invitations, and those invitations are not empty, because behind them is the command of God. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's divine. He that comes to me, I shall never cast out. That's a promise. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's a command as well as a comfort. And he turns to Bartimaeus and he asks him, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want to receive sight. I want to be made whole, not just physically, but spiritually. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. It was in faith that Bartimaeus cried to the Lord Jesus Christ as he was passing by. It was in faith that he went to him at his command. And it was in faith that he asked him for mercy, especially for sight. And that's what you've got to do, my friend. Extend that empty hand of faith and take Christ at his word. You are not gate crashing by coming here this morning. You are not gate crashing by receiving Christ. He's for you. The only invitation you need is the one in the Word. You don't need money to come into this place. You don't need a special dress. You don't need religion before. You don't need to prepare yourself. Just as you are, you can receive what Christ has done. You know, this is how I want to put it before you. Hear him, ye deaf. He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe. He breaks the power of cancelled sin by his death on the cross. He sets the prisoner free, his blood, his atoning blood, his dying in our place, taking upon himself the wrath of God instead of us taking it. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availed for me. Do you hear these things? Hear him then, ye deaf. His praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Saviour come, and leap ye lame for joy. When I was in your position, seeking for salvation, I used to think that there had to be a sign from heaven that enabled me to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that something had to happen first before I believed in him. But it's not like that. Faith is near you. And if only you could see, as I did once, my, why didn't I see it? That Christ has done everything. And all I do is go as a pauper to him and take what he offers me. It's as simple as that. And no wonder Bartimaeus here leaped for joy. I'm sure he did. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Even if he wasn't physically dancing, he was dancing in his heart. There was an overwhelming joy now because his sins were forgiven. He had a power that wasn't there before to follow Christ. And that's what the gospel is offering us today. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life in a moment for thee. I'm not asking you to build bricks without straw. You can't do it. I'm telling you, you're empty. But go to one who can, and life will fill you. And not only life, but joy. Because you're right with God. And instead of going to hell, you're going to heaven. And you know that. And life is transformed. And it might be a wilderness of a world. It might be full of difficulties. But it doesn't matter, because I'm just traveling through, and I have a commander, a captain, that guides me. Now, I better finish there. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? He's passing by. Now, I long for a day when we know his presence. I'm sure Eddie won't mind me using this illustration. We have an Eddie Muscus prayer meeting every month, I think. And everybody is praying for Eddie Muscus in that meeting. But this month, Eddie Muscus himself is going to be in that meeting. Now, my friends, Jesus Christ is here because we are gathered in his name. But oh, for a meeting when we know that he himself is here. That's all I want, you know, to meet again with Christ. If you've never met him yet, that's what becoming Christian is, having an encounter with him. And it happened to me a long time ago. But if you are his, don't you long to meet him again and to know that he's here. May God draw near to us by his Spirit in his grace for his name's sake. Now let